I invite you to stand as you are able for the gospel. The Holy Gospel today comes from the book of St. John, the 14th chapter, beginning with the first 14 verses. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. And Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. My dearest brothers and sisters, grace and peace to you from God, our Creator, and our risen Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. There was once this mother driving down the highway. She had her two kids in the back seat of the car, and she wasn't driving recklessly, but she was driving fast enough that she got pulled over. And so the young police officer came up to her window and said, Ma'am, can I see your driver's license? And she said, Well, I don't have it. A little perplexed, he said, Okay, why not? She said, Well, they took it after the first two DUIs. A little concerned, the police officer said, Okay, well, can I see your car registration? She said, Well, I don't have that either. And he said, Okay, well, why not? She said, This isn't my car. These aren't my kids. I took it from some guy and I stuffed him in the trunk of the car. Freaking out now, the officer said, Ma'am, can you wait right here for a moment? He went back to his squad car and called for backup. Seven cars showed up, one of them being the chief of the police. And the young officer explained the situation, and the chief of police walked up and came up to the woman in the car and said, Ma'am, I've heard a disturbing story. This officer here says that you don't have your driver's license because of some DUIs. She says, Well, that's crazy. It's right here. And she pulls it out and hands it to him. Everything's up to date. It's clearly her. A little confused, he says, All right, well, this officer also said that you stole this car from somebody, you don't have its registration, and the owner is stuffed in the trunk of the car. And again, she said, That's ludicrous. Here's my car registration. And once again, the VIN numbers matched up, the license plate matched up. She clearly was registered as the owner of this car. Well, just to be sure, he asked her to get out and go open the trunk of the car with him. And the officers were still a little on edge. And so they do, and she opens the trunk of the car. Perfectly clean. There's nothing in there at all. Perplexed, the chief of police says, Ma'am, I'm really, really sorry about this misunderstanding. I don't know what happened. She looked at him and said, Well, I bet you that guy told you I was speeding too, didn't he? Happy Mother's Day. It's always a fond thing for me to think of mothers today. And as someone who is soon going to be a parent himself, for many people in our world, it is through mothers that children first learn security, to learn that they are in a safe space. And in many cases, there is a pattern that emerges from this relationship. As parents, we raise our kids to go and explore, to discover things about themselves, but to do so in a way that they always know that everything is going to be okay. We raise them this way until a point where we release them into the world and hope that this wisdom, to some degree, will stay with them. We see a similar pattern in our gospel story today. As we open up, we are once again at the Last Supper. It is Thursday, the day before Jesus will die on the cross. He is gathered with these 12 apostles, these men whom he has shared his life with for the last 3 years, these men with whom he loves very deeply, these men whom reciprocate that love, these men who have found security within him. Within this scene, we find ourselves after Jesus has done something crazy by removing his clothes and washing their feet in an act of pure, unconditional, genuine love. We find ourselves in this scene after Jesus has told these 12 men that one of them will betray him to death. After Jesus has told the other 11 that they will deny him and run away when the time comes. And after Jesus has told them that he will soon die on the cross and be leaving them. We find ourselves in a scene where these men have been gathered in security and love for the last 3 years, but will soon be released into the world without the person whom provided that security in the first place. And they are terrified. You can almost see it as you might your children being sent off to college or being sent off into the world to go and spread their wings for the very first time. And they're terrified. And so Jesus opens up with these words, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." It is almost like any of us as parents would do, right? If our child is scared or hurt or afraid in any way, to just say, "It's going to be okay." That's what Jesus is saying here to his disciples today. Guys, it's going to be okay. Unsure about that, they ask, how? And he gives them a pathway. Follow my example. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You have experienced my love. You have experienced my compassion. You have seen my example. Now go and do. Love other people the same exact way that I have loved you. And it's not just directions to go lead their lives after he's gone. But it's so much more. Even though he is leaving, by loving in this way, by being compassionate in this way, by caring for others in this way, his presence, God's presence, will always, always be with them, it's going to be okay. But he goes even further than that. I go to a place that I will even prepare for you so that even when you get there yourselves, it's going to be okay. Even something as final as death has no power over the comfort that Jesus provides. Everything is going to be okay. That's a message we need today. That's a message we always need to hear in our lives because of the continuing presence of fear. That's what it all boils down to. If you were to consider the evolution of humanity from the hunter-gatherers that we were in our primitive state all the way to these technologically advanced beings we are today, it has always been guided by the principle of fear. Fear of not feeling secure in our lives. It was too difficult to hunt and gather sustenance, so we built fences and raised livestock and planted vegetation so that it was always present in our lives. We developed better technology to create more abundance, technology that increases still to this day. And it has all been because of this fear of not having security. But this fear isn't just present in our lives today. And this is where this message speaks to us more profoundly than ever. This presence of fear is utilized and used against us. How many of you think the news is full of good news? Right? That's a marketing tactic. It's to use our own fear because we have this evolutionary thing in our mind. We pay attention to fear more than we pay attention to positive things of security. That's how we have survived for hundreds of thousands of years. And our news media uses that today to boost up their ratings. How about fear in politics? How much is fear used to get a vote out of people from both sides of the aisle? But fear is also used within our own faith. I was doing a funeral one time, and this text, this John text, 14:1-6, is a common text that is used in funerals to comfort our loved ones, that they go to a place that Jesus already is. Sorry about that. But I was doing a funeral one time, and I used this very text. And then as I did my prayers for this person who had passed on, I prayed that we do not say goodbye to this person, but that all of us gathered here for them will see them again one day. And then afterwards, I was at the reception, the fellowship for this person's life, and one of their relatives from out of town came up to me, and he said, "How can you believe that?" And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Surely you don't think that everybody gathered here is going to see this person again one day." And I said, "Why not?" And he said, "Because some of them are going to go to hell." And then he quoted this back to me. "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody gets to the Father except through me." There are so many ways to interpret that text, but this gentleman had interpreted it with fear. I better believe in Jesus because nobody gets to the Father except through me. Fear of avoiding that other place so that he could be with Jesus. But that negates the entire point of this text, because this text is not about fear, but about Jesus' presence within that fear. To let these men whom he loves know that as you venture into a place of uncertainty and fear, no matter what, I am going to be with you and everything is going to be okay. This text is not about removing fear from our lives, because we need fear. It is a healthy thing. It's what keeps us alive. But this text is about taking its power away from our lives so that we can be free to love one another without fear. So that we can be free to experience God's presence in those whom we are called to love. Every single person in this world, regardless of anything, to love and to experience that no matter what, God is right there with us and everything is going to be okay. And it's hard to make practical sense of that. And so I think back to my own relationship with my own mother, who now smiles down upon me. I think of all of the things that have happened in my life before she left. I think of the bicycle accident I had when I was in second grade, when I slammed my head against the corner of a brick wall and started gushing blood out. I think of the first car accident. I shouldn't have said first. I think of the car accident I had when I was in high school and I injured myself. I think of the moments where I got into trouble, the moments where I was afraid. And it wasn't that my mother took that pain or that fear away from me, but it was simply that she was there to put an arm around me, to comfort me, to wipe away my tears, to let me know that everything is gonna be okay. That is our faith. That is our God. That is our promise. It's not a promise that life will be without struggle or loss or pain or hardship, but it is that we do not go through this alone, that God is with us in each other, and that God is with us at the end. That's the lesson I take from my own mother, is that I wasn't just encountering her comfort and her love, but that I was encountering God himself. In his name, amen. I invite you to stand as you are able. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.